about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Now that interests me. It might not interest you at all. But there are stories of gladiators and fighting and battle. And it's just awesome. It's an old book. The historian's name is Gibbons. And he did such quality work. This was written back in the 1800s. I don't have that old of an edition. But he did such good work that many of your universities, secular universities, use his volumes, his studies, his history book to teach history, at least Roman history. And I'm reading through it, and I come across a statement that grabbed my attention. And I know you're going to think, man, you're not supposed to get your sermons from history books. You're supposed to get it from the Bible. And I'd agree with that. I do. But I get illustrations from history books. And I get titles. So, extra pepperoni on mine. I wanted double cheese during Sunday school. Anyways, there was a statement made, and let's go ahead and read this so I can get my mind back in gear here. We're going to begin at verse 20. We'll read to verse 27. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27. If you're able to stand, let's go ahead and stand here. All right. The Bible says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil." There's some great practical advice for you and I as people, let alone Christians. And just on the surface there, we see the practical value of thinking ahead. We see the practical value of not allowing yourself to be distracted. You know, keep your eyes straight ahead. There's practical value in being mindful of what you allow through your eyes and your ears. And so this practical value is to do a couple things. It is to help stabilize you. It is to help make you useful, a useful person in society. The reality is you will find fulfillment if you practice this advice. It begins with the word, keeping it in your heart. Now, as we have assembled together, my assumption is that everybody has received Christ, but only God really knows if everybody is saved. But I realize I'm primarily talking to saved people this morning. You have a treasure within you, the treasure of salvation that this world needs. And so I want to talk to you about how to protect, not necessarily your salvation, but your testimony, and how to profit from it. That is not the title, Brother Aaron. I got a different title, actually. I wanted to wait on the title here. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless the service. Help me to speak. You, Lord, help me to rest in the fact that you knew completely what was going to go on today, and that you are in control. And what may be out of our hands is certainly not out of your hands. And we pray, Lord, that we could learn something from church today that would help us tomorrow, Tuesday, through the rest of the week, and really through the rest of our lives. May it identify us, and may it distinguish us, Lord, as your people. Help me to preach. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I need to put this tie mic on. In Gibbon's book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, page 236, I read this statement. It's in reference to the eastern end of the Roman Empire, which would have been in the Middle East, the Greek Macedon area, the Asian era. There was a king by the name of King Sarpo who had invaded the eastern end of the empire. And there was a city that Rome had control of that was a very wealthy city. It was a city that was known for not just its financial wealth, but for knowledge, a place of great learning. It's a city that we read about in the Bible, a city by the name of Tarsus. You know the man who was from Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus. Some historians say that it exceeded the educational wealth of Athens during that day. But once again, it was a place of great knowledge, great material wealth. And it was tucked in these mountains. The only way to get to it really were through deep valleys. And as a matter of fact, one writer, I think Paul the Apostle, would say later that Tarsus was no mean city, and that was an old English word for it was a good city. It was a very good city to be brought up in. And that's where Saul was from. That's where he learned. Now, this King Sarpo of Persia was very mindful of the wealth of Tarsus. And in Gibbon's history book, he said, "The advantages of the narrow passes of Mount Taurus were abandoned." That was a phrase I was reading. As I was reading this story, I stopped at that phrase. As it was talking about King Sarpo's invasion to the eastern end of the Roman Empire, I don't have that on yet. As he was invading, he knew where he was going. And Gibbon says about the Roman Empire itself, once again, he said, "The advantages of the narrow passes of Mount Taurus were abandoned." And later on, we would find that the city of Tarsus was sacked, pillaged. It was destroyed. All the wealth was taken. And the Persians would now own that land. But what got my attention, and I know I'm spending time on this because I want you to get this, was that phrase, "The advantages of the narrow passes were abandoned." The title will be "The Advantages of the Narrow Passes." You see, if you can visualize this for a moment, if somehow you can visualize two walls, the walls go all the way to the ceiling, both sides. If you can visualize that, you see it? You see it? You got to see it. Can't move on until you see it. Great big walls. The walls cannot be removed because in reality they were mountains. To climb them, to ascend them, it was going to be way too difficult to bring an army. On this side of the narrow pass is the city of Tarsus. This wealth, this knowledge. Here it is. Now there were a few narrow passes like this to the city. It wasn't just one. There were a few of them. He said the advantages of the narrow passes had been abandoned. So there was others that on the other side of the mountain they could get to, but they were narrow passes. If anybody was going to take that city, they would have to go through the narrow passes. The Roman Empire, now, the Roman Empire, you got to get this, had abandoned... Gavin, come here. Come here. Daniel, come here. We're going to call you two soldiers. You're soldiers right here. Okay. And soldiers standing at attention, never asleep. Okay. It's, okay, so soldiers. There was a time when the narrow passes had been guarded. Now, the reason they were advantages were, one, you couldn't take a whole military. I'm going to have you go back toward the middle, face this direction, all right, about here. King Sarpo could not take his massive army down a narrow pass. He was limited. He could only take a few people at a time. He could only take so many soldiers. That it only took so many soldiers to defend the narrow passes. You didn't need a great army. But King Sarpo came on this occasion and found the narrow passes. Go ahead and sit down. Found the narrow passes abandoned. Well, that made it easy. Now we can go through there. And he took the cavalry through and they swept through the narrow passes quickly with the cavalry. But they didn't, it wasn't necessary to have a large army, just enough to blockade, just enough to hold off, because the enemy couldn't bring the whole army through. Now that got my attention. These narrow passes. They were abandoned. Now, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues. Behavior. Outgoings, the conduct. The life. So, this is significant. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. You and I have some narrow passes as well to our heart. Let me just cut to the chase. Before a man ever ruins his life, the advantages of the narrow passes have been abandoned. So what do you mean? Before David ever fell to Bathsheba, he had abandoned the advantages of the narrow passes. He allowed lust to take root in his thinking. So what do you mean? Before he ever laid eyes on Bathsheba, he quit guarding the narrow passes of his eyeballs. In Lamentations 3:51, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. Friend, you are going to be what you think. What rules and occupies your heart and your brain is what you're going to turn out to be. You can judge the way a man's going to end up by the way he thinks right now. And I'm telling you right now, listen, these narrow passes need to be protected, but these narrow passes also allow us to profit. Because if we control the narrow passes of our heart and on our mind, we can determine what comes in and what doesn't come in. Let me just show you some Bible verses in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you don't get there, I will read it. It's right after Hebrews coffee in the morning. James chapter 1. I am privy and I am saddened to the fact that I am so aware of so many people who at least claim to be saved, who have fallen greatly, and in some cases don't care about even getting up. They have destroyed their lives. They've destroyed their marriages. They've destroyed their testimony. They've destroyed what their opportunities to serve and make a difference. And they're living in squalor and squander, and it's obvious somebody else other than Christ occupies their heart. It's obvious. David, he abandoned the narrow passes. Now, James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Let me illustrate. Eve. Remember the Garden of Eden? Eve. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Eve is near temptation, but she's not tempted till she gives ear to temptation. Oh, yeah, that's a narrow pass. It's a narrow pass. Let me tell you, what you let go, the voices you choose to listen to have a huge effect on your life and on your behavior. The voices you choose to listen to. Before Eve, though Eve was near temptation, she had to give ear to temptation to really fall. And what happens is, as she gave ear, the tempter began to, she looked at the forbidden fruit. The word of God was questioned, then denied. And then there was a replacement brought in about what God was hiding from her. All a lie. And so she looked at the forbidden fruit and eyes. She heard what the devil had said. And she lost faith and put her faith in a lie, and she reached out and took of the forbidden fruit. And then she woke up and realized, I was wrong. I was wrong. Now she would be condemned from the Garden of Eden. But she had to first of all be tempted, enticed, and she had this her own lust. It looked good for food. And then death would come upon her. And it did. Before Achan ever took of the forbidden items in Jericho, he had abandoned the advantage of the narrow passes. He allowed greed to take root in his heart. He was told strictly by Joshua, when we see the walls come down of Jericho, and you see all the gold, silver, and the precious metals and the beautiful Babylonian garments, don't take it. It's God's. It's not yours. Yours is coming. This is the Lord's. This is the first fruits. This is the first conquest in Canaan. Don't take it, or you will have taken the accursed thing. And Achan, as he goes marching through the debris of Jericho after the walls had tumbled and after the great slaughter, he sees gold and he sees silver and he sees these beautiful garments, and he can't help himself. He would make this statement in his confession, "I saw, I coveted, I took." Say, what happened? He had abandoned the narrow passes. Lot. before Lot ever committed such wicked sin with his daughters. The advantage of the narrow passes had been abandoned. There's a statement about Lot in Genesis chapter 13. When Abraham backslid, he took his nephew with him, and they went to Egypt. But Abraham got right with God, and he left Egypt, and so did Lot. And so, physically, Lot is no longer in Egypt. He's with Abraham, dwelling in Canaan land, in tents. Though they don't possess it, that's where they're at. But the Bible tells us that Lot saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were like Egypt. He had Egypt on his mind, though he wasn't there in body. Something had gained entrance to his heart through the eye gates, through the ear gate, through the narrow passes. And the result was it ruled his heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. I say again, before a man ever ruins his life, the advantages of the narrow passes have been abandoned. Say, what do you mean? There's no guards anymore. How many of you have ever played the game of Risk? Okay, really not enough of you to make it a good illustration. So, there's a device called Clear Play, and I'm not trying to be an advertisement for them at all, but it illustrates what I'm going to share. This device called Clear Play is a device that you can actually... What it does is it filters movies, all the bad scenes and language. It'll take it all out. It'll turn your 2-hour action movie into a 5-minute movie. Wow, that was good. Wonder why those people are laying around dead, huh? The strictness level is up to you. There's certain degrees you can set it. But it's called Clear Play. Say, what is that? That is a device that is standing guard. It's set up to help somebody stand guard and protect their eyes and protect their ears. I can't control everything that goes in my eyes, and I can't control everything I hear, and neither can you. No more than I can control the birds flying over my head, but I don't have to let them build a nest. What I need to be mindful of is there is a need for God's people to have some, we used to use the word standards, some discipline, convictions, not preferences, but convictions that would protect us from being influenced unnecessarily by ungodliness. The music industry knows how to get to your heart. The Hollywood industry knows how to get to your heart. Billboards, internet, things are so visual. Tragically, all it takes is a look. Did you hear that trumpet? That was pretty amazing. It was like the Lord saying, "That's right, nail that. I'm going to try that again. All it takes is a look." You don't forget that one. I'm telling you right now, you're going to remember that till you meet Jesus. I got to do that again. I have no idea what sound we're going to hear. Gabriel might be. All it takes is a look. We got to mark this one down, honey. I'm going to put this in the old journal. David looked, but he looked with his narrow passes abandoned. He looked with nothing guarding his heart. He looked, let me put it this way, he looked with no regard to how it would affect his heart. He looked, and it affected his heart. And he sinned, and he committed adultery, and then he murdered. And then, then he felt it. And then the consequence didn't just affect him, but affected his children and his posterity. And some of them died because of his sin, because he abandoned the narrow passes. I know that Joel Osteen may not preach this to you, but this is Bible preaching, even though I got the title from a Roman history book. These are principles that we need. We're not ignorant. Most of us know, I shouldn't have been looking at that. I shouldn't have been listening to that. Most of us know we just need reinforced. That's what preaching should do. It should reinforce us. I need that. You know, I can look at the condemning factor of the abandoned narrow passes. But what I want to finish up on is this. Gibbons said they abandoned the advantages of the narrow passes. I like the advantages. What's meant by that? I'll tell you what's meant by that. If I'm willing to stand guard in the narrow passes of my eyes and of my ears and what goes into my heart, and be mindful that there's going to be things that try to get in and occupy my heart that would destroy me. They'll certainly come with deception, but they'll destroy me. I also need to be mindful of this. There are things and there are influences that I should let in that can help me, that can strengthen me, that can revive me, that can sustain me, that can lift me up, that can bolster me up, that can give me reinforcements. There's a reason Jesus had to say to the church of Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He was outside. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is this. With my eyes, I can take the Word of God and bring it through the narrow passes and bring it to my heart. And with my ears, I can hear the Word of God. Hey, I know Brother Fritz, where's he at? There he is. He's listening to the Word of God. With my ears, I can listen to the Word of God and bring it through the narrow passes and let it affect my heart. And I can come to church and I can hear preaching and be around God's people and sing the praises of Zion. And I can let them come through the narrow passes. I can pay attention on purpose. And I can use those narrow passes for my advantage. I can use those narrow passes to become a better person. You might say to yourself, "I've been conquered. I've been defeated." An old English word, sacked. I guess that's really not old. We use it in football today, don't we? I've been taken down, but you're not out. You might say, "But somebody else, see, I struggle with this and that." Oh, but you still, listen. You still are in there, and you can still determine whether or not what goes in and what doesn't go in. The Bible says, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. Philippians 2:5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How do I get the mind of Christ in my mind? Well, I got to know His Word. I got to get His Word through the narrow passes. I got to purposely get His Word through the narrow passes. I said last week that the best things in life tend to resist us. They don't come easy. The wrong things will naturally flow. But the good things, you've got to invite them in. The good things, you've got to want them in. They never press for your time. I shared this with a friend this week. The most important things in life never really demand your attention. You got to take time for them. What demands your attention often is the little things. I can't go across the board and say that's true all every single time, but most of the time it's true. The unnecessary phone call that keeps you from another situation. The commercial, the distraction here or there. The time you need to spend with your spouse or the time you need to spend with God, that doesn't often demand because they're often patient. But I need that. You need that. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want you to turn to two verses. We're going to look at Job 31:1. Job 31:1. If you can find it, it's right before Psalms. Job 31:1. I got just a couple minutes. I want to share a couple things with you. I struggled wanting to preach it today because I realized attendance is down, and part of me wanted to do something else. But nothing else was coming to mind. So we all need this. God would say of Job at the very outset, he would say, Job was a perfect man, upright, who eschewed evil. He pushed it away. Here's what he would say about himself. This is Job. Verse 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Say, what's he saying there? He's saying, I've not abandoned the narrow passes. I've not abandoned the narrow passes. Turn over to Psalms 101, verse 3. Psalms 101, verse 3. I believe David would write this after his great failure. But you know, failure is not final. And if you'll learn from failure, oh, hallelujah, you can become a better person. I hope you're hearing me. It's not final. And if you choose to learn from it, you can become a better person. In Psalms 101, verse 3, David would say this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So what's he saying there? He's saying, I'm not abandoning the narrow passes anymore. I'm keeping guards up. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We have a pornography epidemic in our country. It doesn't have to be the white elephant in the room. We know it. It's so accessible. Every teenager that has a phone can access it. They don't need to go steal a magazine out of somebody's room anymore. They don't need to go down to the local drugstore and buy the nonsense. If your child has a cell phone, an iPhone, they have access to all kinds of nonsense. I'll tell you, all I can say is I'm thankful that I didn't have that access as a teenager. I'm telling you, I know myself, and I know, listen, you all, you ought to be thankful they didn't have that around when you were a young person as well. We had enough problem with what was available. But these young people had this stuff available. I'm telling you, Mom, Dad, that's why you ought to check on your kids. If they got an iPhone, let me see it. And if the kid has a problem showing you turning over the iPhone, then take it from them. You can't, listen, David learned, I can't abandon the narrow passes. So, you can always tell who really occupies the narrow passes by what they leave behind. Here's a man who gets found out that he's committed adultery and he's messing around on his wife. He doesn't care about making it right. Here he claimed to be a Christian, but he doesn't care anymore. He's not going back to that church. Oh, no. Like it's the church's fault. But oh, no. let the marriage go. Everybody that works for him knows. Marriage is over, a broken heart, a grieving heart. But oh well, it doesn't matter now. The narrow pass had been abandoned, and the lustful pleasures had taken advantage. The destruction has done its thing. And now you can see by the life of an individual who's been occupying the heart, who's been ruling the heart. You say, but isn't there mercy available? Sure is, if a man's repentant. I said there sure is if a man's repentant. But if a man doesn't care, well, the way of the transgressor is hard. And a person can only live a lie for so long. Especially if they claim to be saved. It's a dangerous place, dangerous game to play. Because there's nothing hid that will not be uncovered. Stories after stories after stories. Grown adults that I've talked to started watching pornography as little kids, and it haunts them. They can't look at people right. They can't be around a woman without horrible thoughts. By the way, it affects girls too. Girls can be caught up in that nonsense as well. I mean, I don't want to be just one topic here, but because the principle applies to so many cases. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brethren, what sort of things are true, what sort of things are just, what sort of things are honest, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God says, why don't you let the right thoughts in? It's not always a matter of that you've abandoned the narrow pass and the enemy's taken over. It's a matter that you won't let the right stuff in. So, I got to conclude. I got to wrap this up. We got a baptismal. You know, God has provided us a narrow pass into heaven. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly before the throne of grace so you might find grace and mercy to help in your time of need. You say, I need God's help. You absolutely do. I need God's help. How do I get it? Well, the only way to get it is through Jesus. It's the only way. And the only way I can get through Jesus is to be humble. To be humble. I've got to humble myself, and I've got to let him know, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you. Oh, he says, there's grace and mercy available to help in your time of need. Father, may you bless the message. I pray that the truth came out clearly. Those who are going to be baptized, go ahead.